Thank you, Molly. That was very, very good, a blessing. I count it a privilege to be able to stand before you today. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me this opportunity. And it is very different speaking in a classroom where you've got maybe 10 other guys in there, and you know that they're not going to, I mean, they're going to critique you, yes, but they're going to, I don't know, it's different because there's less of them. Besides the fact that this is really not my age group, it's not that you're too old or anything like that. You are all the perfect age that God would have you. It's just that I'm used to preaching to people who are under the 4 foot mark. So that's the group that God has called me to, and to stand in front of you, I'm only a little bit nervous. So, but I'm told that's a good thing. But if you could take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 8. One of the things that I do, just, I don't know if it's a habit or really when I started it, but I study people, especially people's hands. If I get a handshake or if someone's up gesturing, I look at their hands closely, because a person's hands actually will tell you quite a bit about that person without them having to say a word. If you were to look at my hands, the first thing that come to mind would be, man, you really need to take care of them more. My left hand has got cuts and scrapes. I'm missing skin off my knuckles, and I've got scabs and things like that. My right hand is pretty much the same way, but I've got calluses, and they're thick, and they're not exactly pleasant looking, but they're rough. And I've looked at it in preparation for this. I've actually asked people if I could look at their hands, and after they get over the fact of, like, wait a minute, are you a palm reader? Like, you're welcome, Josh. Just looking at someone's hands, you can tell. I actually was looking at a friend of mine who does a lot of handgun shooting, and his left hand, because he's left hand dominant, he's actually got a callus right in here in the heel of his hand, where the gun wears every time it fires. Grant O'Brien, he's a guy at school. He plays pretty much any stringed instrument he can get his hands on. His fingertips have got calluses all over them, just his fingertips. It's amazing what someone's hands will tell you if you look at them. And today, out of the book of Matthew, I'd like to look at Christ's hands. And for me, it's always been a fascination, because it's a set of hands that I've never seen before. But oh, do I enjoy knowing that I'm going to get to study those hands one day. Maybe today, who knows? But I'm going to get to study my Savior's hands in person. I'll get to feel His hand in mine. But anyways, turn to Matthew chapter 8 if you're there. And I'd like to look at five different things that Christ's hands do. Now, Christ's hands undoubtedly did and do many more things than this, but there's just five. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him," speaking of Christ, "saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." A little bit about leprosy, I'm sure you already know this, but leprosy is actually a skin condition. It destroys the nerve endings and the muscle tissue eventually in someone's hand. It forms in white splotches that basically just eats the skin away. It's almost a bacteria. And the strange thing about leprosy is it can remain dormant in your system anywhere from 2 to 20 years before it ever becomes prominent. And in Bible times, it was considered a sign of sin when someone had leprosy, or it was considered a mark of disfavor from God. It was really a walking death sentence. For the Jews, if someone had leprosy, they were to be put out from among all the other people. There were leper colonies all over the Middle East, and in fact, there are still cases of leprosy today over in Africa. Now, we've found ways to prevent it and treat it, but it still is a problem. And aren't you glad that Christ reached out his hands to us when we were in a state even worse than that leper? He laid his hand upon us and said, I will, be thou clean from your sin. And I remember that day, and I praise the Lord for him. But Christ healed this leper. For Christ to touch this leper meant several things. It meant, first, he was ceremoniously unclean. He would have been ceremoniously unclean. Second, he could have gotten leprosy himself. Most people, most priests of that day would not bring themselves to touch a leper because of that fact. But there's more to it than that, because Christ, yes, we understand he's God, and he had power over this. When he reached out and touched that leper, that was the first time in who knows how many years that that leper had ever felt the touch of another human being, perhaps. The significance of Christ reaching out his hand and putting it on that leper, showing him, yes, you're unclean, but I have redeemed you. I have brought you from what you were. In that way, besides just physical healing, it had an emotional case, as was just stated, but are your hands capable of doing this? When was the last time that someone, you reached out your hand to someone to help them in some way? Maybe not physical healing. I actually had a cut on my hand that I got just recently. It was actually Tuesday. I had a chisel slip, and I shoved it right in my palm. And I always try to carry around a first aid kit. Not in lie of this verse, but because you never know when someone's going to need help. Perhaps there are some in this room who, that's the way the Lord's gifted you, to physically be able to help someone in need. Are you doing that? Those of us, there are others in here who maybe emotionally could help people. Are you doing that? Are you showing Christ's hands for yours? Second thing we see that Christ did, healing, but also feeding. Take your Bibles, and still in Matthew, turn to chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 32 is where we're going to start. Start reading. If you found your place in verse 32, it says, "Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, When should we have so much bread in the wilderness, as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? They said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. Christ took his hands, and with his hands he broke that bread. And he gave to the multitude. Now, I don't know of anyone else in history who's ever been able to multiply food in this way. If you can, I suggest you move to a country that is experiencing drought and help them there. But Christ took that bread and the fish and he broke it. Only Christ's hands could have done this. No one else in recorded history has ever fed the multitude like this, but we can give what we have to help others, as by way of application to us. Christ fed the multitudes, not just physically, but also spiritually. Again, coming, bringing it back to our part, when we give to others, we build a relationship with them. And as Pastor Ogle has taught, truth flows through relationships. Christ, in his ministry, he built relationships with people so that he could minister to them further, spiritually. And that's exactly what he did. He used, with his disciples, he used object lessons. He built their trust in him so he could bring his truth and present it to them. In what way can you and I be doing this? Perhaps in physically feeding people. We just heard a thank you note from the barracks, how many in the church gave meals to them. In what way can you help feed others? Spiritually? Physically? In what way should you be doing that? In what way can you be showing Christ through your hands? Take your Bibles again, Matthew chapter 19. We're just going to go pretty much right through the book on this. Matthew 19, we saw Christ use his hands to heal. We saw Christ use his hands to feed, and we see Christ use his hands to bless. Chapter 19, verse 13. Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them, and departed thence. Going back to the laying on of Christ laying his hand on the leper, have you ever been having an extremely rough or hectic day, and someone comes up and they put their hand on your shoulder and they go, hey, you'll get through this, it's okay. You ever received an embrace or a hug from someone? It's just good to know that there's something solid around you. When all the world is falling apart, you're able to just hold them and just know that it'll be okay. Their parents, I can imagine these parents at the shores of Galilee bringing their kids with them, and all of a sudden the disciples are like, what are you doing? The rabbi is too busy. The master's too busy. Send them away. Go. But Christ, from behind them, said, no. Peter, John, Paul, bring them. Paul wasn't actually a disciple yet. But James, that's who I was thinking of. But he looked at them and said, bring them to me. Of these is the kingdom of God. And it says, he took his hands. And I've always wondered, what were Christ's hands like? Were they strong hands? Were they the hands of a man who worked with wood and stone, which a carpenter would have been? We're not told that Christ was a carpenter, but we're told he's the son of a carpenter. Was that his trade? Was that what he learned? Were his fingers long and thin and strong, or what were they like? What was it like to have those children come before him and Christ put his hands on them and pray over them? And those children, how long would they remember? Yes, I went to the Sea of Galilee. I went to where the great Rabbi Yeshua was, and he put his hand on me. How long would they remember that? The rest of their life? I know I would. But then, by way of application to us, Christ has done that. When he saved you, he took his hand and he put it upon you and said, you are my child now. Go and do thou as I have commanded. Do we remember Christ giving us those commands? Do we remember Christ saving us? Healing, feeding, blessing. And then fourthly, purging. Chapter 21 and verse 12. Jesus has come almost full circle, and he comes into the temple, and he looks and he sees the money changers' tables, those who sold sacrifices, those who exchanged sacrifices and different things. They actually would exchange coinage, Roman coinage, for Jewish coins. And it was a very unfair and a very theft-filled practice. And in chapter 21, verse 12, it says, And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Here we see the strength of Christ's hands. Having been at school, I've helped set up and tear down many, many tables, but even before that, I've had 5 older siblings get married, which means I also help with the setup and tear down of all the facilities, banquets, and things like that. So I've broken down quite a few tables in my day. Not literally broken, but there's been a few of those, unfortunately. But in tearing those tables down, these were solid wood tables. They were designed to hold money, and Christ came in and looked at those tables, whatever they were laid out on them, money or whatever was there, and Christ took those tables and literally picked them up and threw them. Strong hands. Must have been. Is there some way that we have neglected, when we see something wrong, that we have neglected to do what is right? Are our hands weak due to negligence on our part? You say, what do you mean by that? I work at my roommate, Ken Lengel, he's an interesting character, and I praise the Lord for him. But his hands, when you compare our hands, my hands and his hands, there's a complete dichotomy. His hands, the skin on his palms is very thin, but he's a tech guy. He knows computers. So he can out-type me any day of the week. In fact, when I first cut my hand, I couldn't actually use my thumb. The problem was I had a paper that was due the next day, so I had to finish typing. And I was so thankful for the Lord, because Ken, he's like, here, I got you. He brought out a Bluetooth keyboard, and without looking, I dictated to him what he was supposed to type, and he typed it while I looked on the screen and saw what was being typed, and that's how I got my paper finished. It worked out great, and I was able to let my hand heal, but there's a complete dichotomy there. Ken's hands could not do the things that my hands can do. I can reach down and I can grab something that's got thorns on it, and I can grab it with my palm, and I can pull it out. If Ken did that, it'd shred his hand, simply because he doesn't have the built-up calluses that I do. Is there some way that you've neglected to use your hands to do good? The thing about preaching that I thoroughly enjoy is I don't have to know what's going on in your life, because I give what the Lord's given to me, and the Holy Spirit works in your heart. I don't know, is there a certain area that you say, my hands have been lax on this. I haven't been in the Word daily as I should be. I haven't been learning more about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I haven't done that. My relationship's just stagnant. Is that where you're at? Strengthen your hands. Get in the Word. We've seen Christ healing hands, Christ feeding hands, Christ blessing hands, Christ purging hands, and now we see Christ promising hands. Chapter 26, verse 26 is where we'll start. This is the night of the Passover. Christ and his disciples are in the upper room. And in verse 26, Scripture states, "And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" With his hands, Christ took the bread and he broke it, passed it to the disciples, and he passed the cup also. By doing this, we see clearly here that he told of the promise that was still in the works, that would be sealed with his blood and death and his resurrection. As I said before when I started, I can't wait for the day that I get to look and see my Savior's hands. But more than to see if he's got the calluses of a carpenter, more to see if his hands are strong, what the shape of his fingers are, what his palm is like. More than all those, I rejoice that I'm going to get to look just below his palm, and I'm going to see the holes that are there. Because that part of his hand holds all the promise. He told his disciples, This is a remembrance. This is a promise that I'm making in his hands to this day as he sits at the right hand of the Father. His hands hold those promises. The promise that we have eternal life. On the cross, when he drove those nails in, the promise was made. And when he rose again, the promise was sealed. That he had power to keep the promise that he made. I'm reminded every time I see pictures of Christ, or supposedly what Christ's hands look like, I'm always reminded of that. How Christ made a promise to me. Christ promised me with his hands. He bears in his body the marks of his promise. I'm coming again. I'm coming to save you. There is no fear of death. Not for the Christian. Not for me. Our hands, promising hands, when it used to be that people wouldn't have contracts laid out in paper, they could walk up to each other and they could shake hands and they could make sure their promise. In the exact same way, the marks in Christ's hands are his promise, just as the same. It's the same thing. But do the works of our hands bear witness to the fact that we remember Christ's promise? You say, what do you mean by that? I'm not following. If we remember the promise that Christ is coming again and that Christ has saved us, are we laying up for ourselves gold, silver, and precious stones on the earth? Are we taking advantage of what this world has to offer simply because the world is offering it? Or are we saying, I'm a pilgrim here. My Lord is coming again. Now, yes, you take care of yourself and you do enjoy the things that are here, but you do that with the express purpose of remembering, I'm not here forever. I'm going to one day go to a place where I don't have to worry about my house burning down. I don't have to worry about if the stock market crashes. I don't have to worry if a thief comes in the night. Because everything I've done with my hands, I laid up in heaven, gold, silver, and precious stones, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves cannot break through nor steal. Are those the promises of your hands? I was wondering if I should bring this before you, if this was really what the Lord had for me, and right before the service I mentioned I was just a little bit nervous, and I had someone come up to me, a fellow saint, and they took my hand and they prayed with me. And it was a reminder right then, yep, this is what it is. Bring it. I don't know, some of us, the Lord has given us the challenge to heal. Some of our hands are capable of that. Some of our hands are capable of feeding others, spiritually or physically. Some of us are a blessing, being able to come up to a fellow saint, give a firm handshake and say, I'm praying for you. That's a blessing. Some of us need to strengthen our hands to do the purging that needs to be done in our lives. As parents, and I hesitated to say this, but I think the Lord's leading me to, as a parent, there are things in our children's lives that we have to take up the rod of correction and purge from our children's lives. And that's a tough thing. Not that I'm a parent, but I know that it's never pleasant being the one to bring admonishment to someone else, but it must happen. It has to. Are your hands that are capable of purging in love? Are your hands a set of promising hands? When you give your word, is it sure? When someone takes your hand and you say, I will get this done for you, are you sure of it? Are you doing works with your hands to show the world, I'm here, but I'm looking to heaven? Are these your hands? In what way do your hands need to more exemplify Christ in your life and others' lives? Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these truths that you gave to me, and Father, that I can now give out to others. You know, Lord, only you know how this is going to be used in my fellow saints' lives. And Father, if there's someone here today who says, I don't even know, I've never thought about Christ's hands like that, I pray that you'd strengthen this in their mind and not let it go. Again, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to bring this forth. And I praise in your name in this. Amen.
Thank you, Jeremy. Wonderful study, and a unique one. By extension, we are now Christ's hands. He says later, remember, he says, you fed me and you visited me in prison and you did all these things. And they said, but Lord, when did we do that? And he says, when you did it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. We can extend that. And that's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. So thank you for that study from the Word.